This is a HeadGum Podcast. A millionaire.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm a young money millionaire. I'm a venereal disease like a menstrual bleed. Through the pencil I leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write shit, cause I ain't got time. A milli, motherfucker, I'm ill. They say I'm rapping like B.I.G., Jay, and Tupac, Andre 3000. Where is Erykah Badu at? Who that said they gonna beat Lil Wayne? My name ain't Bic, but I keep that flame, man. Wow. That was my interpretation of A Milli by Lil Wayne, which is my guest's favorite song of high school, which I also can identify with as being one of mine. The year is 2008. As you know, we've been in this year before and we are back again because it's a popping year. Top singles on the chart, just in case we need to be reminded. Hot and Cold by Katy Perry. I Kissed a Girl, also by Katy Perry. Sexy Can I by Ray J. Touch My Body by Mariah Carey. Lollipop by Lil Wayne. Love Lockdown by Kanye West. Love Story by Taylor Swift. I mean, Mrs. Officer, a huge year for Lil Wayne. Huge. And Katy Perry. Truly a knockout year for music, I would say. Sex on Fire by Kings of Leon. Use Somebody by Kings of Leon. So What? You Got in the Rock Moves by Pink. Wow, we had so much good music. That's Not My Name by the Ting Tings. We had so much music happening. And what's happening in the world, you're wondering? Well, to just kind of switch it up from when we were last in 2008, I'm going to hit you with some other little factoids, okay? Tina Fey was playing Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live. People were refusing to get the iPhone. Why? Because the BlackBerry was truly where it was at. People were referring to their BlackBerry as the crackberry. Remember Brick Breaker? That game? Spaghetti Cat, a meme I don't remember, but people do remember. Starbucks, iTunes Pick of the Week. God, remember that? Cell phone charms. Never really went anywhere. Buying ringtones and ringbacks. That was popular in 2008. And last but not least, Shwayze, the musical group. Very of 2008. Oh, and the Apple ads and the song they used in the commercials, like the silhouettes of people in the colorful backgrounds, you know. But enough of that. You're wondering, where were we in 2008? Why? We were in Washington, D.C. And who are we with? My high school classmate. If you can believe, I invited on a classmate of mine, Patrick Foley. Wow. Patrick, thank you for joining me on Senior Superlatives.
Greta, thank you for having me. My heart is a flutter. My stomach is in what's the opposite of knots?
Your stomach is happy.
It's like a silk. It's like one of the silks scarf that like Pink was dancing on in 2008.
Patrick, you know, it's very rare that you're the only classmate that could come on to the pod, honestly.
You famously only keep in touch with me. I've listened to many podcasts where you've talked about how I'm the only person you keep in touch with.
It's true. Not to say that we did not also go to school with other brilliant, amazing, wonderful people. Of course.
Racking my brain right now.
But Patrick, you know, we always like to start the show by asking, who were you in high school? What were you like? Because The thing that's going to be fun about today's episode is that we can talk about our mutual memories, because I knew you. I knew high school Patrick. So I want to know, who did you think you were?
Right. And that's what's so dangerous about this setup is because I did some research, because I'm a good student, I have a master's degree, and I listened to some of your other guests, and almost always the answer is like, I don't know, I was like almost cool, I was kind of a floater.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, can I even, what can I say? Like, you're going to hold my feet to the fire.
Because, well, no, but how you feel is subjective to your experience.
Totally. Thank you, subjectivity. I feel like I, well, see, and that's what's so pathetic is that I'm like, you know, I think I was like cool enough. Mm-hmm. I had a good time. I was trying to like create a sort of crossover theater kid slot for myself.
Mm-hmm. Which I would say you did succeed in doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I was like, I had like two goals. One was like to be a theater kid, and the other one was to like be cool enough to like go to fun parties and like go there with people, not just like show up and like have to pretend like I pre-gamed somewhere.
Now, do you think that our high school really functioned in cliques?
My favorite thing is like, okay, so yes, obviously it did. And yeah. I love when you ask someone who was like cool. I feel like you're always, if you ask like someone who was cool, you're like, what are their cliques in your high school? And they're like, no. It's like, yeah, it's like, if you can't see it, you are it.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. Yes, there were cliques. And, but I do think that like, because we went to a very small high school to the listeners. We went to like, how big was it? Like 70 or 100 kids?
No, it was bigger than that. It wasn't so, I think that sometimes when people say very small, they're like 17 kids in a class.
Yeah, like, no, it wasn't like someone homeschooling.
We had like, I think there were around like 100 something kids in our graduating class.
Yeah. So I feel like the class was kind of like divided between like those who wanted to drink illegally and those who didn't.
Yes.
And if you wanted to drink illegally, it was a little bit like, come on, come one, come all, kind of. Like it wasn't like the Mean Girls OC kind of intense hierarchy.
Yeah.
And then when that was the case, it was like very bizarre.
Yeah. I don't think that there was ever like, I feel like if someone that decided that they wanted to drink illegally, like showed up to the party.
Yeah.
There was never that tropey girl in high school that was like, what is Madeline doing
here? Did you even go here?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't have a Madeline.
No, we didn't have a Madeline. No. I think that like, when I think about you in high school,
I'm scared.
I think you did something very interesting, which was you were, because there were two, in my mind, there were two kind of premier cliques of boys.
Mm.
And you were in, there was a not very nice boy clique and a nice boy clique. And you were in the nice boy clique.
Yes, thank you.
But both were like popular boy cliques.
Yeah.
The nice boy clique, you guys were all, the style amongst you guys was Vineyard Vines. Period.
Like, yeah, and that's on period.
Yeah. So like what would you say your style was? What was your aesthetic? What were you wearing? What did you put on in the morning? Like, I have certain outfits that I remember you in, but like what did you put on in the morning where you were like, I look fucking good?
This is fucking sick. Yeah. I think like we need to know, it was 2008. It was Washington, D.C. It was full on preppy.
Mm-hmm.
Like no irony there.
None, zero.
And the fit was baggy.
Yeah. The fit was baggy.
The fit was like, yeah, the fit was like incorrect. So when I felt good, first I will say I never wore jeans to high school.
And, we should also say, famously closeted in high school as
well. Oh, yeah. I was closeted. That's like a huge, that's sort of like the water we swim in, is to know that like I was closeted in high school and like I was like, I wasn't even having the conversation in my head of like, am I not gay? Like I truly, that was like down. Like I wasn't even having that conversation, but I was like, do people perceive me as gay?
Right.
It was all about perception. So I was like, and both of us actually are transfer students famously.
Yes.
And so I transferred in sophomore year, Greta transferred in halfway through freshman year.
Yeah.
So the school I went to freshman year, I sort of like was just like my middle school self. Like, my middle school self was like big, baggy, orange, tie-dye tee, lots of characters and voices, just like love me for who I am. And like, that did not work. And so when I transferred into GDS.
That's so sad. You, like, you didn't have the, your little like freak boy freedom that you felt you cultivated in middle school anymore.
No, but you know, I mean, that's kind of wild that I like have that, that that was my middle school experience was like.
That's nice. Like, I think that, because didn't you go to elementary that fed into a middle?
I did. Yeah.
I think that when you're kind of, that is something that we also dealt with because our high school, they were big on lifers. Like there was that whole culture. And I think this exists.
We were
at
literally immigrants.
Schools, right.
They were xenophobic.
There's this culture that exists of being like, the lifers, we've been here, like, life since
the
life.
The lifers.
Yeah, like, since birth, like, whatever. Yeah. And there was a bit of a, well,
divide.
Yeah.
I will also say, like, for the listeners, like, the caveat that we should just throw over this is, like, we're talking DC private schools. So just, like, know that that kind of, like, class-based lens of, like, inquiry and inclusivity and criticism, like, should just be applied blanketly to, like, everything that we're talking about.
Correct.
Just putting it
like,
out there
like
so that we don't have to talk about it.
People were coming to, driving themselves to school and they're in, like, a Mercedes compressor.
Yeah. Mercedes. Yeah, one person in particular who I thought was my friend in high school and then pretended not to know me in college. Also, okay, we're going all over the place. Have we decided, am I using pseudonyms?
Yes, you're going to use pseudonyms. I would be too annoying for my dear sweet producer to bleep every fucking name we say.
And for the dear listener, I mean, it would, yeah, it would drive everyone to epilepsy.
Okay, so we are leaving our goofy, silly tie-dye t-shirt past, and you are coming into this culture. And you are like, I'm going to assimilate into this.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I was like, well, freshman year sucked dick. And I was like, so I'm going to this new school and I'm going to be serving like Liddy in the city. And I'm going to be cool. And most of all, I'm not going to have to answer the question, are you gay? And I have a high, there's like a high bar for this because I'm also like, and I will be the star of every musical. So, you know, there's a lot working against me, but I want to say like, I was thinking back to it like the summer before I transferred into the school Greta and I went to GDS. I went on Facebook because Facebook was new at that point, and I was doing my research, my due diligence, like anthropologically, like what is cool at this school. And I was like,
you did?
Fully. I was like, what is cool? I was like watching movies. I was like, how can I like approximate heterosexuality in such a way that it's like, it's like, I don't want to be the most straight person. I don't want to be the most cool person. I just want to be like, not a question.
Right.
I just want to be under the radar, an assumption. And I think part of that was like baggy clothes, preppy clothes. And then part of that I realized was that I had to make male friends.
Yeah.
And I hitherto until that point, is that the right word?
Sure.
Hitherto until that point, I had only had female friends.
Right.
Because women are the best.
Yes.
And easy breezy beautiful. But
who
I was
on the left? Girls.
And so I was like, basically, like that was the lens that I came into GDS with. And so I went to, you know, what's the place called? Brooks Brothers.
Sure.
J. Crew, of course. Yes. And just loaded
buying
up.
Buying those ribbon belts.
The ribbon belts.
The pants with the little, you know what I remember you
the
in?
The whales.
Yes. The pants with like the Oliver embroidered whale.
Yeah.
The like popped. I also, for some reason, have a vision of you in polo shirts.
Always.
Every single day.
Every single day a polo shirt.
And a green one specifically.
Yes. And a green forest green North Face.
Yes. You were like green boy.
Thank you.
And I did you have a green backpack or am I making that up?
I don't even remember what my backpack was.
And I just you also had like floppy boy hair.
Absolutely. Lacrosse boy hair.
Lacrosse boy hair, the kind that like with the hat flips out.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
but you didn't. But here you did not. You were not sport boy, but your clique was sport boy.
We're all sport boys. But here's the thing. You know, I tried.
I didn't know you tried.
Hey, I was on the lacrosse team sophomore year. That's how I met those boys. Okay, so literally what happened was I was like, I'm about to be straight and I'm about to be the lead in all of the plays. Go to GDS. Fail at both. And I don't get into any of the school plays my sophomore year.
Well, story of my
story of your
high
life
school existence.
We're going to dive straight into. And so I didn't, but I was like, well, I need an extracurricular. Both of my parents worked. So I was like, great, I'll just like join the lacrosse team.
And you did, do we have tryouts? Because I was I was so not involved in sports at all, other than being the manager of the boys varsity basketball team. Truly only so that I could like hang out with my boyfriend.
Yeah, it was an erotic position.
It was a powerful position.
You were like Cameron Diaz in Any Given Sunday. You were like tits out with a clipboard.
I also managed baseball.
Yeah.
And I like would go on trips. I think I just was horny and I think I just wanted to be around.
Yeah, you would go on trips with them.
Yeah.
You were like, but you were also like girl boss before there was a girl boss.
I'm happy you perceived it that way.
Oh, definitely.
So you didn't have to try out. You could just sign up. Like, were our sports that bad that you could just sign up?
Listener.
Well, I knew lacrosse was because DC is a true lacrosse hub.
Yeah.
So like when our school would play against like Georgetown Prep or Landon, Gonzaga, like even Murray, we would get fucking owned.
Obliterate. Like, I have to say, you don't know fear until you join like the worst lacrosse team in the DC private school fucking whatever
circuit.
That's called circuit. And then you're in a rackety, rickety bus rolling up to some all boys rape academy. And they're doing like full on like the haka. Like, they're doing like warrior dances.
It's really intense. I mean, it's like
terrifying. And it's a sport with a metal stick.
Yeah.
They aim at your head.
But also in boys lacrosse, you can body check and stick check. Famously, in girls lacrosse, you can do none of that.
I was very okay. So I was concussed twice.
Wait,
in high school.
Sophomore year?
No. I'm sorry. Just like in my life, I was concussed twice. So I was like,
how did you get two concussions?
Well, the first one, I was like, such a loser. In middle school, I got into the school play and I was so excited that I was like sprinting through middle school, like trying to tell my friends, slipped, slammed my head on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
And the other concussion happened at theater camp too.
Okay.
I mean, it's all theater adjacent injuries.
Okay.
But it's all to say I was like very physically, I was afraid of getting hurt in lacrosse. So it was like a failure because of that. I have bad hand-eye coordination, but it was like an up close and personal education in like how to assimilate into this kind of culture, which was, you know, put me in good stead.
And that's how you met those boys.
That's how I met those boys. Yeah.
So when for you, because like in your journey through high school, when were you like, I have these boyfriends now. You also had a girlfriend.
Honey, you know I did.
And I'm feeling ready to continue to pursue theater, which was something that you were always doing.
Yeah, I was always doing both. Like, it was never like if someone was like, you have to not do theater in order to be cool, I would have probably sold on theater.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, when I think about my high school experience, like, it's very BCAD kind of moment. And the, like, birth of Christ in that metaphor is the sit-in.
Okay.
So
we can just go there.
I feel like, we can go there. We can talk. But I feel like
I think it's really important because
everyone's like, politics.
Like, what are we talking about? So this is something. When this happened, what Patrick is about to explain, we were seniors.
No, I was a junior.
Oh, we were juniors.
It was winter of my junior year.
Okay, well, this is good. Because, you know, we can say I was, because of course, I would be like, and I want to know a story to you that's quintessentially high school.
Right.
So I want to know a few stories.
Take me
but
there.
But first, I want to hear you recount this story, because this story is crazy.
There's just no way for me to talk about my high school experience without talking about this story. Because like,
I guess this is, a BCAD situation.
It's a BCAD situation. You have to understand too, like, as I was saying, I came into the school being like, I'm going to be cool. And was like trying all these ways to be cool. And then I did this thing that was like so pure and insane. And it like weirdly
it redefined
it
you.
It made me iconic.
You had a rebirth. Did make you iconic.
It was like the Kim K sex tape. It was like thing that you thought was a fail actually created a life.
Up until this point, this story that you are about to tell everyone listening, did you feel cool and accepted?
No.
Or did you feel that you were still really kind of like floundering with trying to, like, were you... Were you feeling unsatisfied? Were you feeling unseen? Were you mm-hmm. What were the feelings that were going into this? Because I do think that this did change the narrative of...
Flip the script.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, to like get really concise with it, sophomore year, I basically like ate lunch alone in the library most days. Then I played lacrosse and I sort of like met these guys. Then I was like, yes, now I can start illegally drinking with people. And then... junior year, I got into the musical, or I mean, into the play. So I started to make friends in the theater community, which was really exciting and liberating. And theater kids are like fucking freaks. So that was exciting. And then I think I was like so liberated that I did this thing, which is that I staged a sit-in to protest the closing of our high school library. There are lots of deets to get into around this. Like, there's sort of a culture to paint, but to get really to attempt concision. Basically both my parents worked, so I had to stay at school until like 7 most nights, which is why I did like extracurriculars. Also, like, we maybe had to do extracurriculars, but like I was also a bad student. Library was the only place I could
You were
work.
Not I was a bad student.
Honey,
you were not a
I
bad
was a
student.
Bad student until senior year. 2.7 GPA.
Really?
2.7.
Oh my god, you were like the same as me.
I was bad.
I never got better.
I got
Actually,
better.
That's not true. Senior year, I started senior getting year. A's, senior but it year. Didn't matter because my GPA was still so bad that I wasn't getting in anywhere.
Yeah, I we'll get to GPA later.
Or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah, basically like, yeah, anyway. So when I was a junior, my life was like, I had to be at school until like 6 or 7 because that's when I could get picked up.
And you were not the only student that was like that.
No.
A lot of students needed to stay at school late because of sports or their parents worked late or whatever it may be.
And like for those kids and like even kids who didn't, like the library was lit. Mm-hmm. Like the library is where you socialize. Like everyone hung out at the library. It was like the most fun place. And it was open until... I want to say like 10, like it was open late and our school had like a freaky ass 24/7 policy where like you could always go to school. Did you know this?
No.
So we went to like a progressive private school in the DC area and they had like it was like open late. It was like in the city, open campus, come and go. And there was like one security guard and like it was open late.
I had no idea we had a 24/7 policy.
I'm almost positive. Like the theater kids like slept in the theater.
I do know that like... The theater kids, you guys would always be at school really late. Like until like 11.
So that is the culture into which I want to like seep everyone's minds. And in that culture, the hub was the library. Okay. And so I'm at the library one day, let's say it's January, and I see like a tiny notice on the door that says, starting Monday, the library will be closed every day at 4 p.m. like from here on out. And I was like, what? That's crazy. That can't be the case. Like the library is closed and everything else is open. And so I then like I'm going through the library, sort of like getting people's opinions, being like, do you think this is real? And everyone's like, yeah, that's weird. That can't be true. And we also had like a big email culture in our high school. Like it was DC. It was like a political minded school. So people would just like send out emails being like, this is something I care about. And here's an article. Why? So I was like, you know, we were reading like Letter from Birmingham Jail. I was like, you know, feeling political. So I sat down and I wrote this email being like, this has come to my attention, kind of ironically, like this has come to my attention. This is absurd. This is crazy. Like, how are we going to learn? How could they do this to our brains, to our young minds? How could they shut down this opportunity for education and growth? Is this not a school? Do we not bleed? You know, sort of like something in that vein. And I like sent it out, like sort of didn't think anything of it. And then floods of responses came in and like faculty and peers and people were like, you need to do something about it. You should start a sit-in. And I was like, that's so funny. That's exactly what I should do. That's hilarious. So as a joke, I made a Facebook group.
Yep. And this is where it all
goes down. I was at the forefront of the Facebook sort of like litigation.
You were.
At a really early age. Start a Facebook group. That was called like, it was, I think it was called like, fuck this.
Yeah, it was fuck this. I remember like, it was called fuck this.
Yeah, so I created a Facebook group, all caps, fuck this, invite everyone from school, everyone joins it. In the Facebook group, I'm like, this can't be. Like, we need to act, like, enact change. Our school stands for progressive politics. We have, like, charity begins at home, yada, yada, yada. So because of this, I'm scheduling a sit-in on Monday, the day the library is supposed to close, at 4 p.m. when they're going to close it. And everyone joins this group. It's this whole sort of thing. It becomes, like, over the weekend, this, like, huge thing. I'm getting texts from, like, cool seniors. I'm getting texts from, like, cool people in our grade. And, like, no, at this time, like, this is the kid who, like, 6 months ago was eating lunch in the library alone. So I'm like, okay, this is fucking lit. So Monday happens. I'm at school Monday. I feel like a full-blown celebrity. People are coming up and, like, whispering to me in the hallways, being like, this is so fucking dope, dude. I can't wait for this. And, like, and, like, people are, like, staring at me, like, giving me waves, like, hot women and men are like, into it. And I'm like, my life is about to be made. The day goes on. I go into my last period class, which is a French class. And all the people there are like, we can't wait for this. This is incredible. The dean of students comes in. Patrick Foley, can I see you in my office? I'm like, okay. I go downstairs to her office. She puts in front of me a printed out version of my Facebook page for the event. Fuck this. And she has circled at the bottom of the page, copyright Facebook, because at the bottom of all of Facebook's pages back in that day, it said copyright Facebook. And I had posted to the group, like, just like pictures from the website, like pictures of the school, pictures of the library, pictures of the librarians, like pictures of
everyone things, involved.
Everyone involved from the GDS website.
Which is public domain.
It's public domain.
But I mean, meaning that, like, anyone can go to the GDS website and look up any of these things.
Yeah. And she goes, but she circles copyright Facebook and she goes, so this is cute that you're doing this, but unfortunately, you've committed copyright infringement. You have stolen the property of the school and put it on this on Facebook, and now it's Facebook's property. Like, we don't want to get litigious with you. That's the last thing we want to do. So as long as you cancel the sit-in, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, okay, spooked by the word copyright infringement.
Spooked by litigious
and spooked by her, like, very whispered delivery. So basically I'm like spooked. She was like, just like cancel the sit-in and write a letter of apology. I'm like, okay. So I walk back upstairs. I'm spooked. I'm like, fuck, I gotta cancel this. I run into like this group of three girls and I'm like, ugh, this thing just happened. I have to cancel the sit-in. And they're like, absolutely not. This girl, we'll call her Julia, goes, absolutely not. Looks me dead in the eyes, at like full, like from her pussy, is like, you've started something you can't stop. That is something that will ring in my ears until I'm 6 feet under. You've started something you can't stop. We're doing the sit-in.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, okay, time to get political.
Yeah.
And so go to class, yada, yada. 4 o'clock rolls around. I walk to the library. And it is, like, chock full of people. Like, seven, like, I don't know, like, 100 people in the library. It's not a big building. And the school newspaper is filming it. There's, like, a full Georgetown day. The newspaper was called, like, the Auger Bit. There was, like, a camera crew set up. Teachers are there. It's more than 100 people. What am I talking about? It's, like...
No, it's like 300 people.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people are in the library. And the whole sort of like tactic, as I put on the Facebook group, is like, we're just going to show up and like sit down and start studying. Mm-hmm. And when they say like the library is closed, we're not going to leave and we're not going to answer. And so we all sit down, or I walk in and like people are bustling about, but I'm like an actor, so I'm committed to my craft. So I like open up my biology book and I'm like working. The librarian is having a full mental break.
Yeah.
Pacing across the library, huffing, puffing, who, what, when, where, why, glaring into my eyes. Librarian goes, the library's shutting down in 10 minutes. No one responds. The library is shutting down in 5 minutes. No one responds. The library is officially closed. Everyone out. The library is officially closed. No one responds. She screams, runs into her office, slams the door. It's like, you could hear a pin drop. Everyone's like staring at each other, giddy. We like sort of wait there. Everyone's like sort of whispering to me. The librarian comes out of her office. She goes, get in my office now.
To you.
To me. Obviously to me. She looks dead at me. I'm like,
you're the leader.
Okay. I walk into her office and she's like, you need to shut this down. This is incredibly inappropriate that you're doing this. And I was like, look, we just want the library to stay open. And she was like, I can't stay here to supervise you. Do you understand that? I have a cat right now who needs to go to the vet, who has a life-altering surgery that she needs to have. And if you're responsible for the death or the injury of my cat, you're going to pay. And I'm like...
I also love our school threatening you multiple times with like...
You're going to like weird...
With going to court, needing to pay for certain things.
Is this the Godfather? And so I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you can leave, but we are going to stay in the library. So she repeats the line, you're going to pay. Storms out of the library, hear the Subarus screech out of the parking lot. And then we sit down and we're like, yay, we're victorious. The vice principal comes in, similar situation. And I'm like, we're not leaving. I'm sorry, we're not leaving. The vice principal informs us there's like a board of trustees meeting in the library. I'm like, great. Well, then they can see that the students are politically active.
Which, by the way, fully was
the mission of the school. The
mission statement of the school. It's exactly. Like, look at how righteous our students are. Look how they think on their own. Yes. Look about how they're looking out for community. And
they like took us to protests.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all sorts of all sorts. But basically the principal comes in and we like gave him our list of demands. And he was like, well, we can't have you in the library without supervision because there have been a few thefts.
What?
And we were like, okay. And then this gorgeous man, and let's not bleep his name, Benji Messner, who I think is like right now like a political operative rural Virginia or something.
Why did I think that Benji worked for the alumni?
No. He's too cool for that.
He is a political consultant.
Yeah. So Benji, who's like, you know, I don't know, a character from House of Cards now, but IRL. Benji stands up and he goes, I will supervise. I'll be a student supervisor. And I will stay at this library until it is closed every weekday. And the principal like couldn't say anything to that. And the principal was like, okay, fine, I guess. And then he was like, Patrick, do you have anything to say for yourself in front of like all these people? And I was like, I would just say in the future that if you're going to make decisions that affect the students, you should get our input ahead of time.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll see you in my office at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So everyone erupts with glee. Like, we've won. We parade out past the board of trustees who are like, truly, what the fuck is this?
Yep.
I go into his office and they suspend me. And we can get into the minutia of the suspension, but it's probably not worth it at this point because it's been a long story. Basically, I'm suspended.
The suspension causes another uprising at this school.
I literally walk out and like...
There was another walkout.
There was another walkout to protest my suspension.
To protest Patrick's suspension. People wearing Free Patrick t-shirts.
There were two banners that said Free Patty that were suspended from like a third story railing.
Yep.
That were like fascist propaganda posters that were up for like a year.
I had a t-shirt.
Yeah. Many people. Yeah, there was a walkout the next day. Mm-hmm.
I remember it so well because you were gone. And I think I texted you potentially.
Like, probably like, what the fuck is happening?
Being like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't really believe that you were suspended for that.
For 3 days. And I want to say the context also is like, motherfuckers up in this school were doing cocaine, getting into DUIs, totaling cars, getting arrested, and getting no punishment.
Selling drugs like one block off school property.
Yeah. Doing drugs in school.
Yes.
No suspension. Meanwhile, 3 days out of school.
And you were also to me, the funniest thing about it was the thing that they reassured you about your suspension was, don't worry, it'll make a great college essay. Like, as if like getting suspended was somehow
teachers said that the principal didn't say that, but like teachers said that. But basically it like launched, it was like a total nightmare. I'm already not a good student. I thought like my life was over and it turns out it had just began. So I sort of became like iconoclastic in that moment.
You did. That was a huge moment. I mean, that's like a moment that a Broadway fucking musical is written about.
Coming to a theater near you.
Like, for me, that's what made you a household name.
Yeah, fully. No, yeah, that's why it's the sex tape. It launched my career. And basically from then on, I was like, okay, lit. Yeah. Like, feels groovy to me.
Everyone respected you. Everyone knew who you were.
Alumni
everyone
were reaching
you.
Out to me.
There
like, cool alumni were literally sliding into the DMs on or the messages on Facebook to be like, mad respect for what you just did. Like, that's so amazing.
There you go.
Faculty were like, this is so fucked up. Everyone was like on my side. It was actually like bizarre that administration even did it, because the like groundswell of support was insane.
I think that now it would be different because of social media.
Yeah.
I think that like now students have way more autonomy in being able to document what is going on in their day-to-day life. Like, imagine if it were now and we were like live streaming.
Oh my God, it would go viral.
Right. And I think that it's so silly to think that they called you in and they were like, it looks like it's copyright infringement. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you just don't want to deal with what's about to happen.
Yeah.
That was really so crazy. I it's something that is a story that I think all of us that were around for it, it's like a myth that we all carry, and it's like a folk tale.
It is truly, and it is stupid. Like, that's the thing. Like, it is stupid. Like, it was like sort of a stupid event.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Do you think that that event, like, changed you as a person? Because I'm always interested in how people feel. Like, I really feel that a lot of the experiences that I had in the ages of high school, like 14 to 18, were very imprinting on who I am now. And there are certain moments in my timeline of that point where I can, with therapy, be right. Like, maybe it was something that happened then. Do you feel that this is an event that is like imprinted upon you in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly haven't been to enough therapy to like really talk eloquently about it, but like I do, obviously, yes. And like I don't mean
in a bad way. I just mean I think that it's really cool when you're young with something as silly as like a library sit-in to be like, oh, if I am a proactive person in my community, like I can, I don't know.
I think that it calcified a resentment towards authority that frankly I already had and it clarified it into something that I then saw as an asset. And I think that like as someone in the entertainment industry where there are many sort of like self-imposed authority figures handing down sort of edicts and information to you, mm-hmm. be it like execs or casting people or whomever, like it has put me in good stead because like, you know, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I could care less. And we were talking about this yesterday, like mm-hmm. this idea that like, you know, in our world, like there's constant rejection. And I think like, I don't perceive that. And right. I think part of it is because like from an early age, I was shown that like it pays not to listen to certain people.
Yeah. I think it's hard, but I think that that's like a valuable takeaway.
Absolutely.
Is there another point in high school? So now we're post sit-in. Is there another like story or moment that you carry in your satchel of tales that is something that is so quintessentially that time for you?
Oh my God. I mean, I hope I'm not boring people.
Not at all.
Okay. I mean, the next thing that feels like quintessentially high school to me is like really like followed up, like, I want to say like a month and a half later, or like not even, which is like a little bit darker. I'm honestly nervous to talk about it.
You don't have to.
Yeah. I think it's like fairly quintessential. It sort of like follows naturally in the narrative arc, which is like, it's sort of an Icarus story at this point. Like, so basically this sit-in thing happened. I found this like newfound confidence. Like, people actually wanted to talk to me and hang out with me and invite me places. So like, I had this like newfound social confidence. I was like the lead, one of the three leads in the High School Musical. So I was like feeling good about myself. And like the seniors, so I'm junior, the seniors in the High School Musical were like actually very cool. And they like sort of welcomed me in as equals. And one of the seniors was this guy who we'll call Jake.
Great.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. There was this guy, Jake, who was like cool, like the one of the coolest guy seniors, like straight, hot, charming, sort of unknowable, super friendly, was also like in all the theater shows. And I just like really looked up to him. And I sort of like crafted my whole persona based off of him. And I was like, you know, and like I wanted to hang out and yada yada. And I basically would have like done whatever he and then this girl who we'll call, I'm gonna have a really hard time keeping track of the pseudonyms.
We can call her Leslie.
I'm obsessed with that name for that person.
Jake and Leslie.
Jake and Leslie. Wow. And we are whitewashing this story, just so you know. There was diversity at play. So Jake and Leslie, I was obsessed with. And we started hanging out all the time. And basically, so it's the spring. It's what we called Hell Week in the theater. And it's our final dress rehearsal for the musical. And
what was the musical that year?
On the Town, Leonard Bernstein, baby.
On the Town.
Absolutely. New York, New York. It's a hell of a town. And so classic musical, sailors dancing, the whole shebang. I'm one of the sailors. And we're at our lunch break and we're like, okay, it's going to be an hour long lunch and we're going to come back and we're going to do the final dress. We go on a lunch break. It's me, Jake, and Leslie. Jake is driving. And then there's this girl who we'll call
Fiona.
Fiona. There's this girl who we'll call Fiona who's like beautiful. I sort of had a crush on her. She's a year younger than me. Who's going to come along too? And we're like, great, we'll go to Whole Foods. So we go to Whole Foods. We like walk into the like parking lot or whatever. And then the like, basically like the school drug dealer is like, I'm going to come with you guys. And we're like, okay, cool. We like get into Jake's like Chrysler Sebring, AKA like my erotic dream. He's blasting Lauryn Hill, roof fucking down, spring baby in the air, hormones. I'm like obsessed with him, crush on this girl next to me, like feeling groovy here with this cool drug dealer. Drugs are cool.
Yeah.
Like we go to Whole Foods, amazing, get a great little cold bar situation happening. Get back in the car. We're driving back. The drug dealer goes, oh my God, I forgot I have this handle of Bacardi in my bag.
Classic when like everyone was carrying alcohol in their backpacks.
And it was always rum.
Yep.
Bacardi, Malibu.
Captain Morgan.
Ugh. What else is there to drink?
I mean, you know I fucked around with the Smirnoff Cranberry.
Oh, honey, you know I did.
You know I fucked around with that Popov vodka.
Absolutely. Malibu. So it was that kind of vibe. It was summer or spring or whatever. So this guy, the drug dealer, we'll call him the drug dealer. This poor guy, that sucks. Whatever. He goes, I got this Malibu. And we're like, amazing. And Jake is like, oh, fuck, we should drink that. We pull into an alleyway. Once again, urban school. We pull into an alleyway, start passing around the Bacardi, the rum. And it was like Bacardi 161.
Disgusting.
And I was like, wow, like at the time, is this even true? I was like, 161, basically Everclear.
I mean,
like, wasn't there that whole thing about how like 161 was like so intense?
Yeah, well, it was like 161 or 181? Is it Bacardi 161? Is that correct? Can we get a fact check on that? Is it 161 Bacardi? 151.
Excuse me, listeners.
It's one because it's 151 proof. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Right, which is a lot, right?
Yes, like vodka is like 80 proof. So then right, if you're right. having like Everclear, which I think is
right.
Like
Everclear is like a million proof.
Yeah.
Which I did also drink at the basketball games that you managed.
Also, we would I feel like we did wouldn't people soak like gummy bears
yeah.
or something
yeah,
in
yeah,
Everclear?
Yeah.
So
anyway, we pull up into the alleyway, Lauryn Hill blasting, dappled sunlight moment, full blown Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird fantasy. He pulls out the Bacardi. I'm like,
swigging from
the on
jug.
The request line.
Yes.
Like, yeah, we're passing it around. Somehow a spliff comes into the mix. Mm-hmm. People be smoking the spliff, cigarette. Things are going down in mm-hmm. the car. Let's just say that. And don't touch the mic. And I am like wanting to fit in, wanting to be cool, yada, yada. And I'm like, I'm having some of it. I'm not like getting hammered because I'm still sort of terrified of what it is to be truly drunk.
No, and you're also like, wait, you have not been truly drunk until that point. Like,
I have, but I'm afraid of, I'm in the closet. I don't want to lose control.
Right.
But I want, so I did a lot of, up until that point, I did a lot of work where I would like go to parties and like, literally do a shot, but then like throw it away.
Yes.
And then
wow,
like act wasted.
That. Oh my God.
It's dark sided.
Because I always remember you being wasted.
That's what I'm saying. That's
wow,
what
it's
I'm
all
saying.
An act. It all makes sense later.
Yeah. Of course, how could I get truly wasted? I'd like suck a dick.
I don't know. I guess because I was so like.
Truly wasted.
I really didn't start drinking until truly like junior year. Mm-hmm. Like I was a pot girl.
Right. Well, because you also famously started to drive at 14. So you had some wheels that you had to attend to.
What do you mean?
You told me. Wait, is this not true? I remember you being like, yeah, like. I remember you being like, yeah, like my parents in high school. You ate the Mini Cooper.
I did drive a Mini Cooper.
So Greta drove a Mini Cooper and lived in Georgetown, which is like quite urban center city driving. I was like a suburb kid who came into the city to go to school. Greta was like full urbanity. And had this Mini Cooper. And I remember you being like, yeah, my parents work a lot. So like, I basically started driving at 14, 15 before I even had a permit to get to school.
If I said that, I was lying. If I said that, that was a full-on lie.
That is so formative to my sense of you.
That is so funny. I mean, good
for
me.
Could I have made that up?
Probably not. I probably lied.
Or probably it was like one of those things where you were like exaggerating and I was like, and let me take it a step further.
I mean, I would not have lied about that because it would have been so obvious that I wasn't driving myself to school.
That is so funny.
I got to school my freshman year from a senior who was like a family friend. He would drive me to school. And then sophomore year, some mornings I would take the bus. I would take the
public transportation.
Yeah, I would take the bus. Or maybe my dad would drive me. Rarely would my mom drive me. Mm-hmm, but it was one of those three things.
But it was never you, like,
never
pre-period
alone, like,
behind the wheel of a fucking Mini Cooper.
No, like alone Austin driving. Powers. No, I probably said that and you didn't understand the joke.
Well, that tracks.
Because I think I felt very alone through my childhood. Like, I was very much the kid that was, like, coming home and, like, making myself dinner.
Right.
So I was probably, like, I've been driving myself to school since I was 14.
Yeah, and I also think that's, like, a virtue of who you were in high school. Like, you were sort of, like, so cool and so unknowable and so, like... So like sprung from a different plant. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone. And it was very clear. It should be known. Like it was very clear to me at least that you were like so cool. But like your currency like was not accepted by a lot of the people.
No.
In our community. And so like I think because of that, you had this like unknowable aura. Like, you also had the really severe bang.
Yes.
which was part of it. And you were a fashion icon always.
Always.
And you were working in the sort of clash, like hyper clash vocabulary before it was maybe so cool.
Correct.
So there was like a lot going on. You had this kind of like unknowable vibe about you that made it such that like when you said to me, I started driving myself to school at 14, I was like, yeah, that tracks.
You could not tell what was real and what was fake.
You could have told me like anything.
That's so funny.
And I would be like, yeah, she's iconic.
That's so funny. Wait, really quickly, I want to finish the story you didn't finish. And then we have so much more to cover. And we really only have such a short time left.
I know. That's why I'm trying to talk.
We can always
quickly.
Do a part two. You know, we got to bring you back to have a part two.
I mean,
because you're the only person that can also talk about me.
And
honey.
That's the thing. And we need to do, you know what? We need to do a table's turn.
We need to do a table's turn.
Yeah. We need to go to the red table.
That's moment. Correct. That's correct.
So to finish the story, okay, so we're in the alleyway, drinking, smoking. I'm like trying to like keep up enough. I'm trying to like keep up appearances, but I'm also like a full-blown theater kid. And I'm like, you know, I have to sing the famous opening number to On the Town, New York, New York, It's Out of a Town.
Yes.
And slay it. So I'm doing a little bit of kind of kabuki, mm-hmm. you know, mime kind of adjacent behavior. But people are getting fucked up. And then we get back to... We like pull in, we like go back to the dress rehearsal. We're already late. Everyone's getting into makeup. And I'm doing the Patrick Foley classic of being like acting drunker than I am.
Yep.
Of being like, because I'm like, I'm with the cool kids. They're like borderline blackout. full-blown borderline blackout backstage at this High School Musical getting into sailor gear. And so I'm like, okay, but I, and so I'm like trying to, and we like reek of weed and...
Rum.
And not to mention rum. And yep. I'm eating like a turkey and apple sandwich from Whole Foods to try to mask it. And so me and this guy, Jake, that I like, you know, obviously have a crush on, are sort of like giggling in the corner. And I'm like, keep trying to like get really close to him, to like touch him. And anyway, two of the girls who are also seniors like find out.
Yep.
Because they're geniuses. They're Sherlock Holmes. So they're like, something's up.
And also, they take theater very seriously.
They were the, what is the Lea Michele character in Glee? Rachel Berry.
Yeah.
They were both the Rachel Berrys of our high school.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, no. They go and talk to the music director and they say, there are five people backstage who are drunk and high, and we don't feel safe to do the show. This is unbeknownst to me that this happens. My experience of the thing is like riding high in all shapes and forms in my sailor outfit backstage. I go on stage. In my mind, I'm like, I'm slaying this, doing full like Balanchine choreography, New York, New York. And then I hear from the audience, get the lights up in the house. Lights up in the house. Stop the show. Stop the rehearsal. The director, Laura, we'll just call her by her God-given name, who is sort of a legend in our high school theater community, yep. like rules with an iron fist, older white lady, comes out and she goes, everyone quiet, everyone out on stage. We all come out on stage. She goes, it's come to my attention that five of you here are drunk. I have never been more terrified in my whole life.
She was terrifying.
Terrifying. She goes, it's come to my attention that five people here are drunk. Dean of Students comes in. The same one who threatened to sue me for copyright infringement a mere 2 months earlier comes in. And they go, you have 24 hours to come forward and tell me who you are. If you don't, we will find you and the punishment will be exponentially worse. Goodbye.
The threats.
So I'm like full-blown panic attack, freaking the fuck out, but also trying to be like, I'm not drunk. Meanwhile, everybody up in this bitch knows who the five drunk people were.
100%.
Reeking of weed. Bacardi. Mm-hmm.
Showing up late.
Slurring their words.
Yep.
Me acting like a fucking Jack Sparrow doing like the like God only knows what. I'm like a drunk person in like a Tina Fey comedy drunk. And so, but for some reason we think it's really like surreptitious. We like find each other and go to a Thai restaurant and we like sit down and we're like, what are we gonna do? And we're like, look, if none of us if none of us breaks, like, they can't, if like we're silent, like they can't prove
right,
it, basically.
Right.
Meanwhile, this dean of students had full down, like, she had drawn up a diagram and she'd been like, a diagram of a sedan. And she goes, we know there are only 5 seats in a sedan and there are 5 people in this room. Ergo, 5 of you were in the sedan and 5 of you are drunk. It was like some sort of weird, like, but in my head, I'm like, the math tracks. Like, oh God.
Because it's terrifying.
Terrifying. So over PADCU, we decide like, we're going to go down with the ship. No one's talking. And I'm like, okay, that sounds safe.
Yep.
We go home, you know, whatever. I fall asleep, come to school the next morning. And what's the pseudonym of the...
Leslie.
Leslie. Okay.
Leslie broke.
Leslie fucking broke.
Yep.
She comes up to us sobbing. Apparently, one of the Rachel Berrys calls her and goes, I know you were drunk, and I know you're not a liar, and I know you would never do this to me, and the only path to justice is to have you come forward. So this bitch flipped, full on Michael Cohen style, made a deal, was like, I will be immune if I flip.
Yep.
And then we're all fucked.
Yep.
And so it's basically like, who's gonna flip next? They're seniors. They're Jake's like, I don't want to get my offer rescinded to college. My fat ass is like, I don't want to get expelled.
Yeah.
I was just suspended.
Yeah.
Anyway, wound up going and talking to the principal. Had a full and honestly, like, genuine emotional breakdown because, like, I had just been traumatized by this man. I had been suspended sort of unjustly. I was, like, so emotional. I was like, I would never do this to my family. Like, they'd be so ashamed of me. Like, fully, genuinely sobbing.
Yeah.
What I was saying, where I was coming from, was truth. What I told him was that I did not drink and I just, like, put the bottle to my lips
because
I
wanted to seem cool.
It was a full Bill Clinton, I did not inhale kind of moment, which is, it's between truth and false.
Like, you did mime being drunk.
I mimed being drunk. I also did swallow liquor. Anyway, so I think he took pity on me also because of the whole, you know, public opinion thing about him trying to suspend me 2 months ago. And he was like, fine. Well,
he spared you.
He was like, he was like, I'll spare you, but you're on probation for the rest of your time.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but I remember all of this vividly because I was not allowed to be in the musical, I was building sets.
That's right.
And I remember when all of this, the day that it happened, was building sets and someone, I think, and I'm going to call this person by their name, I think O'Neill
King.
was like, this is happening. Like, this is crazy drama. It's happening right now. And I just remember being like, whoa, what the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. Because all of us in sets, we would always get stoned and then work in sets.
Yeah,
Sets was very chill. Sets, we were kind of like Switzerland. Sets and could do no wrong.
The prop shop was like a cannabis farm.
Yeah, it was very fun back there. Okay, God, fuck. I need to expedite the next, like, 3 things.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah. Oh my God. Is that a... knock I hear on the door? Now, I hope that knock did not startle you guys off the road, as I know some of you have been commenting and DMing me about. But Patrick, here we are in the guidance counselor's office.
Oh my God.
And the guidance counselor is me. Now, in this segment, you get to, you know, rewrite a wrongdoing of the past. If you feel that there was something that happened to you that you want to take back, if you want to apologize for something, if you want to do whatever you may want to do in this segment, this is where we clear our auras of the trauma that high school imprinted upon us. So is there something, someone, sometimes some place that you would like to just kind of clear from the rest of your life moving forward?
I mean, there's so much, but if...
I mean, we just listed 2.
Right. Cool. But if I were to seek, like, absolute...
Or do you want to apologize?
Yeah, I think I want to apologize. I want to take this opportunity to apologize.
Okay.
There's so many people I could choose. Well, oh God. I mean, can I do a few?
Sure.
I'd first like to apologize to my high school girlfriend for involving her in my process of getting to know myself. I think that, you know, I really cared about her. I really liked her. Mm-hmm. And I am really gay. And I think that, like, that toxic cocktail was probably really confusing and hurtful to sort of be on the other side. On the receiving end of. So I'd like to publicly apologize to her and thank her for the like year and a half of our courtship.
And I would say she was very kind.
She's a great person.
Great, great person.
Great, amazing person.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's that. I would also like to apologize to three people whose name I won't name, but basically the situation is I went to middle school with these three people and when... And they were all sort of like weird in high school. Mm-hmm. Like they were weird. Like they were like kooky and like weird.
I mean, I would classify myself as being weird in high school.
But do you know who I'm talking about?
You can tell me when we're okay. off.
They were like not cool, you know, in the way that
when we go back to the click conversation from up top in the episode, they were not the kids that were coming to illegally drink.
Yeah, they were not interested in illegally drinking. And that's a great way to put it. And so when I rolled up to GDS as a sophomore with my whole new persona sort of that I took from Facebook and the OC trying to be a cool guy, these like three people in their own ways sort of like reached out to me to like hang out and like wanted to be friends and were like genuinely welcoming to me, and I like
shut them down.
I like sort of shut them down because I was like, if I'm introduced to this school as being like your friend. Mm. And these weren't close friends of mine by any measure. They were like just people that I went to middle school with. But I was like, if I'm introduced as being like your friend, like, ooh, I have no chance.
Yeah.
That was my judgment at the time, which is unfair, but it's high school and unfair, it's life or
but,
death.
But that was your survival. You were in survival mode at that point.
Yeah. And also it's like, oh, I'm, yeah, it's like all about, it's all about like the being in the closet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I'm friends with you. And then everyone's just like, you're a weird gay freak.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to publicly apologize to those people because they are, the three that I'm thinking of are like amazing people and mm-hmm. so sweet and so lovely. Mm-hmm. And I want to clarify, I was never mean to them, but I also like think, I'm sure they were like, why is this person ignoring us?
Look.
And that is shameful.
But I also think that it is really nice. I hope that they hear this because I think that
they will.
That it's really nice to hear. I don't know. I sometimes think that it's really nice to hear that people, like, you know, can in their older self be like, hey, I'm really sorry if I made you feel shitty.
Yeah.
Are those your only apologies? Those two?
I think that's basically it.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, what advice would you give your high school self?
Oh, man. Well, the advice I'd give my high school self, because hindsight's 2020, is mm-hmm. that I should have tried to fuck Jake, because that motherfucker's gay now. He's a straight up, that motherfucker's a straight up fagot. And I was over here being like, oh, he's so cool. Oh, he's so cool. And there were times when, like, I don't know. I just have, like, two memories of him being like, do you want to come to this party with me? And me being like, oh, I can't, out of, like, self-consciousness. And I want to be like, bitch, go to the damn party and get some lip gloss and get on your knees. Not that I could have ever done that at that age. But, like,
sure.
My wish for myself would have been, like, honestly, that I just, like, had more sex with, or like sexual confidence with like men and women. Do you know mm-hmm, what I mean? Like,
yep.
I was fully graduated high school, a virgin, and like that's fine and normal and great and like probably safe. But like,
yeah, like I was hypersexual.
Right.
And that was not great. Like,
right.
That was not great.
Well, it was very alluring. Yeah, right. So it's like, it's you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Right.
But yeah, I guess that would have been my advice. And like, yeah, I guess it would have been, in theory, it's like, you should have just been yourself. But honestly, like, I was sort of like a Frankenstein creation of myself and who I thought I wanted to be. And it was like miserable for the first half. And for the second half, it was really fun.
That's great.
And it left me with good high school memories.
And I always thought of you as being cool and wonderful and sweet.
I thought of you as being the coolest.
I'm really happy with the narrative of our friendship.
Me too.
Because I think we were always friends. Mm-hmm. We were never best friends.
No.
But we were always friends. And nothing ever weird happened in our friendship. I loved being around you. If anything, I'm regretful that we weren't better friends in high school.
Me too.
I really wish that I cultivated more memories with you. But I think I was dealing with my own.
You were busy. You were frickin' busy.
With what? We don't know.
Well, we do. But and when we do part two, we'll get into that. And who?
But I think I also put up like a lot of walls, like how you,
yeah,
your way of like coping with your identity was becoming like a Frankenstein version of like, yeah, you know, Madras and right, like a baggy polo.
Yeah.
I was doing that as well with like, you know, being like a film noir version.
You were a full blown artist, yeah, is the thing. And I think like, yeah, like we did come together. Like if there was a film of our high school time, like we would both be iconic Judy Greer level supporting characters,
yes,
in both of those films, but we would not be involved in the main narrative. That said, like some of my favorite memories of high school are with you. Like the glow in the dark tour, oh, the infamous glow in the dark tour, sort of like
when I famously didn't have a tooth. Do you remember that? Do you remember, yes, when I didn't have one of my canine teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you, I mean,
and the crooked bang, and we're grinding.
Bang,
together. Obviously, I'm gonna share the photo share every year on your birthday.
Yeah, I look like a full blown like bull in heat,
yeah,
humping you.
Yeah.
But there always felt like there was an understanding of queerness between the two of us.
I would agree.
And we also did Harvard Model Congress together, which, yes, was where we really bonded.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Anyway.
We really did. Well, I would love to have you on for a part two because I could just talk to you forever and ever and ever.
I know. Yeah. The people will tell us if it's actually interesting.
I think it is. And I don't. And honestly, it's interesting to me.
And
this is my show. So that's it. Patrick, last but not least, what was your senior superlative?
Oh.
Your mother sent us photos of the list.
Oh my God, she did.
So you need to.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Look up what yours was.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. And we can edit, right?
We can edit. You can always send me a voice note where you tell me what your senior superlative
was. I'm literally going through our.
I think I know what yours is.
Oh wait, here it is. See all.
I think I know what yours was.
Do you?
I think so.
What? Wait, what do you think it was?
I think yours was like on Broadway. Which is true.
I mean, not really. No, mine is.
Ours were weird because ours were like disses. Kind
I want to find yours.
Mine was most likely really to be find. In a gospel choir.
Yeah, that. Oh, my senior superlative is best library lobbyist.
There you
and
go.
There you go.
And there you go.
The
and
icon
that's
indoors.
What you were. Wow. Patrick, thank you so much for joining me on Senior Superlatives. What a stunning episode we've had. Where can all of my listeners find you? Where can they watch your work? I mean, we have so many things going on. I think when this comes out, the run of This American Wife is going to be over.
Okay.
But
so you can find me on Instagram at Patrick Fly. So it's basically my name, Patrick Foley, with no vowels. PTRCKFLY at that. And then on Twitter, I'm at that, but then you should put like a one on the end. So Patrick Fly one. Mm-hmm. And you can also follow my theater company, Fake Friends.
Yep. By the way, a Pulitzer nominee sitting in front of me
absolutely.
Right now. Very important to know. Very huge impressive.
Huge literary figure on the mic.
Huge accolade.
Huge accolade. And you can check out, in some configuration, our two shows on Instagram. And that those two shows are Circle Jerk and This American Wife.
Wow, Patrick, thank you so much for joining
thank
me.
You.
And thank you so much to all of my listeners for joining me on this gorgeous little epi-poo. As you know, please give me 5 stars and a glowing review. Don't give me anything less. And if you have anything negative to say, just stop listening to the podcast as it is a free service. I do love you all so much. And as we say every week on this show, stay cool, never change. XO.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.